BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 4 o'clock. My name's Becca. I'm 16 and I'm from Bristol. You might not know this, but I'm a vegetarian who eats alligator nuggets. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So, Becca, you're walking home from school, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, you listen to our show every day, right?
Yeah. I can't actually believe this.
Well, now you've introduced the show.
I actually have.
How do you feel?
Oh, amazing. Oh, God.
Do tell us why you are a vegetarian who eats alligator.
Well, we went to America and I was a vegetarian and my dad tricked me saying that it was chicken nuggets, but it was actually alligator.
Becca, if you're a vegetarian, you can't eat chicken.
Yeah, I know.
That's worse than you, Becky.
No, I'm a vegetarian.
Well,
no, I'm not a vegetarian that eats chicken. Oh, I'm a vegetarian that eats beef. I'm only a vegetarian of animals that I couldn't kill myself.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, stuff a animal, Scott?
I still haven't done it, but I would really like to.
Okay, that's kind of creepy.
What do alligator nuggets taste like, please?
They kind of taste like scampi and chicken.
Scampi and chicken?
Yeah.
Chicken.
I only ate them once, I saw. It was because we went to the Everglades.
Do they have them in McDonald's in the Everglades, then?
No.
I love the McDonald's local specialities. That's the first thing I do when I touch down everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I went to one in France once.
Yeah, they sell beer in the French ones.
I love the local special.
I love the Macarabia.
I've never been to the Middle East, but that does sound good.
That is a good one. Yeah.
It's just also like you're talking to each other on the radio, but then I'm on the phone, like...
We are.
You're weird. What?
Did you call me weird?
No, this is so weird.
Yeah, I know it's a bit weird.
You're not weird.
But we're all talking on the radio now. It's very exciting.
I know.
Anyway, it's good to speak to you, Becca, you pretend vegetarian.
Okay.
And thank you very much for introducing the show.
Have a good day.
Good to speak to you. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Thank you, Becca. Last one of the week tomorrow, so do you want to introduce Friday's show? Let me know. Send me an email to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Just put introduce the show or some such. It'll get to me. A little bit cold, isn't it?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris has bought a lot of chocolate in today.
It's nearly all gone. That's the worrying thing.
That's the reward he's got for being a good Samaritan.
Yeah, found someone's phone in the back of her car. Actually went and gave it back to them, met him today, and he's rewarded me in
500 grams. It's good stuff.
I'm suffering now.
You're right.
I'll be all right in a minute.
It's okay, because I've got a sickness phobia. Scott just did a massive exhale, and I was instantly like, that's a sign.
It's a really good job you didn't watch Sun, Sea, Sand, Sex and Suspicious Parents last night on BBC Three.
Why?
Projectile was on. Really was. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Mm. I love it.
I enjoyed the guy that I had top bloke tattooed on his stomach. Who wouldn't want that? Right, what do you want from me, Chris, today?
Someone told me you've got a metal detector.
I have, yeah.
Because I've been seeing all these stories in the news about people who are finding treasure in their back garden.
Mm.
And I thought, this sounds like easy money to me.
I have got previous. A couple of years ago now, wasn't it? One that don't speak. Me and Enrique Iglesias used to go metal detecting a fair amount. He's not been in the UK so much recently. But whenever he's here, or whenever I'm in Miami, I do like to get the old metal detector out and have a whiz round with Enrique.
Why are you just nodding along with this, Becky? That's not normal.
Because he did. I was there. You did some in the studio once.
We did, yeah. Mm. Good times. Would you run? Never look back. Don't know whether I've mentioned this, but I have actually danced to this with him.
Slow dance.
A slow dance, yeah. And he told me to grab his ass. It was a highlight. Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm thinking if I borrow it, or if you want to join, if maybe I can join you and Enrique, that'd be quite cool.
Yeah, but then you've got to split three ways.
Good point, yeah.
Take the detector, and then you get all the...
I just wanted to search my garden, and I thought I'd just go door to door and just ask people, can I have a little go in your garden?
Remember, search your own garden and not someone else's.
Exactly, that's always my motto. So, I don't even know what that
you
means.
You can't just turn up round your next door neighbours and ask to search her garden.
No.
No.
I'll go halves.
It's quite frowned upon.
No, that's not allowed. You can't just, all right, can I just come around your garden and do some metal detecting?
No.
You can't do that.
I thought it could be a door-to-door thing.
No.
Would your parents not mind you digging up their garden?
You don't have to dig unless there's treasure in there.
Yeah, that's but any old thing could, like, set it off. Your dad might have dropped a nail or something.
Yeah, sometimes when me and Enrique have been going around, and obviously he's a very rich man, but he is famously quite tight. So he will kind of, like, go, oh my God, Scott, oh my God, Scott. And then it's just been a load of nails underneath the ground before, and he's gone crazy for it, thinking it's going to be like a fortune. It's just a couple of nails, rusty old nails.
When are you going to
something to make
you
aware
this?
Of? Huh?
Are you going to do this again soon? Or
We're going to have to sync diaries. But maybe if you want to come maybe next time.
Well,
I think
that.
Three is a crowd. But
I don't want to grab anyone's ass, though.
No, that was in the slow dance. That wasn't in the metal detector.
Completely different thing.
That would just be weird.
If you want to borrow it, I can let you borrow it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Who's ready for some Dear Scott? Raise your hands in the air. How many listeners actually did that, then? I think quite a few. It's 20 to 5.
I think none.
No, I don't think so, because when I've asked people to put their hands in the air before, I got tweets and texts going, oh my God, I just did it.
Yeah, but that's like people who just text in going, oh, I just wet myself, that was so funny.
Nearly
like,
crashed my car. Dear Scott, it's time for the Posh Radio 4 Lady. With what you've been saying this week, this is all about you. So get involved with the show. Send me an email, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. It'll get to me and then it can be read out by the woman that sounds like this.
I'm sorry, Scott. I never normally text in, but that's hilarious. Can't believe you give the make of the animal rather than name.
Oh, this was yesterday when we were talking about my bank security questions. It's all gone off since then. I had to change them.
Oh, really?
I'm not telling you what they are now, because I spent a lengthy...
That was way too easy yesterday when you were like, and I don't like it when they ask me my favourite subject at school.
A lengthy time on the phone with a nice lady from the bank today going, oh, you silly. You gave out all your security questions on the air, didn't you? Like, oh, yeah, I did. Sorry. But I was duped into it by you.
Was hardly the world's, like, it wasn't particularly subtle duping, was it?
You went, oh, what do they
it
ask
wasn't, like,
you?
Real hustle.
What do they ask you? And I said, oh, favourite subject at
and
school.
And then I said, and what was it? And
English.
You gave me the answer. That was hardly an interrogation.
Don't even try and phone the banks up now and say English and pretend you're me, because the questions have been changed.
What are they now?
I can't say. Anyway, so we're talking about yesterday, when they say your first pet, I would naturally say dog.
It's not, though.
That isn't one of them either.
No, it's not the make, it's the name of your dog.
Chris, what are you saying? You say dog or cat?
No,
you
don't.
You give the name of the animal, definitely.
Well,
I heard this yesterday.
You sound stupid. No.
No, you sound stupid.
If you're your first pet, Tiddles, how stupid do you feel to someone on the phone in the bank?
Is that the new answer, by the way?
No, it's not. That question doesn't even feature.
Becky's right. Have you not thought about how terrible the security is, if that's what they mean? So, in my case, I either say cat or Captain Pigsworth Wigglepants. Do you get the point?
Okay, I get the point. And maybe I'm wrong. But I just always thought you said dog or cat. Or hamster.
The thing is,
or
you
guinea
would...
pig. Or iguana. The options are actually endless. So, therefore, makes it not a stupid security question at all.
And also, if you had a pet and it was a dog, you'd probably just call it dog. Because otherwise you'd forget its name.
That is true. So what's it called? Dog.
Yeah, no, the name of the dog.
Yeah,
dog.
Next.
Hi, Scott, and congratulations on becoming a father. I just read in a news article that Dutch bombshell Nicolette Van Damme has given birth to a baby girl today. And since it's about 9 months ago that you went to a restaurant in Amsterdam with your girlfriend Nicolette Van Damme, I'm assuming that your luck with the ladies has seen quite an improvement. If so, please confirm, as the father is currently listed as some real estate developer called Bas Smit, and I feel it's my duty to set the record straight.
This is ages ago when I went to Amsterdam.
Roughly 9 months.
And I had to say that I was to get into a restaurant with Nicolette Van Damme, who is a Dutch TV presenter, and apparently is now...
pregnant with your child.
Yeah, going to be an actual mum. So, coincidence?
Also, I thought you might like to celebrate the happy news. In the Netherlands, it's customary to celebrate a birth by handing out to your family, friends and colleagues something called beschuit met gestompte muisjes, which is biscuits with crushed mice. I'm sure Becky, with her exquisite culinary habits, will want to try this. I would send you some gestompte muisjes, but as it consists of an aniseed mixture ground up to form a white powder, I'm thinking perhaps it's a bad idea. Love you, bye. Done. From a village near your beloved Amsterdam. Hair brown. Freckles approximately 375,882.
Crushed mice, anybody?
It's not real mice. I've looked it up. It's like sugar-coated aniseed balls on, like, biscuits.
And this is for people who are pregnant?
No, for to celebrate the baby being born.
Oh.
Like here, you'd probably give chocolates or flowers, but they have, like, the tradition of those.
And that's why I've got to love Holland. Of course I'm not the father. It's Baz Smit, and was all along.
Are you certain?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Do we need to get you on Jeremy Kyle? Yes.
I am not doing no DNA. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, and the posh Radio 4 lady. I have a cat called Waffles. I think that's how you spell it, or it might be Waffles. I don't actually know. Anyway, he's 5 years old and I'm sick of that name. To be honest, he doesn't even answer to the name Waffles. He answers to
That's always the way with cats. Because let's not forget, we've said this before and I'll say it again, cats don't actually like you. They only like you when there is food involved.
They use you to
they
get
use
stuff.
You. And they're quite heartless, cold
they're
creatures.
They're manipulative.
They are manipulative.
Not to be trusted.
Manipulative. And yeah, they're not to be trusted at all.
No.
And I know loads of cat lovers will be like, well, you're wrong. My cat loves me. Well,
no,
he
they're just
doesn't.
Using you.
Yeah.
So I thought to change his name. But I'm not sure if he will still answer. The name I was thinking of was Ian. Ian the cat. And he actually does look like an Ian. The next name is Gaviscon. I don't know why I want to call him Gaviscon. The idea popped into my head when I was watching Noel Fielding's luxury comedy last week, and I looked down at Waffles and he looked up at me and meowed. So I thought, wouldn't it be funny if you were named after one half of a psychedelic cookery show? I just wanted to know if you approved of changing a cat's name. Love you, bye. Lydia, Eastleigh, Southampton, aged 15 and bang on a half, height 5'5", with dark brown hair.
The cat won't care.
I think, yes, you should change it to Ian. I'm not keen on Gaviscon. Go for Ian, but then you've obviously got the bank security question issues to deal with, so you also need to phone the bank.
Yeah, because that will be one of the questions, no doubt.
What are you saying? Do you think Ian?
I like Ian as a cat.
If the cat looks like an Ian, then...
Yeah. What does that mean, a cat that looks like an Ian?
Well, it looks like Ian. Ian Beale.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. What other Ians are there?
Anything else you want to say? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Craig in Colchester sums up the whole cat thing. Cats just think humans are can openers. That's it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Scott.
Hello, who's that?
It's Jessica.
Jessica, where are you today?
I'm in Redditch.
Redditch, hello. How can I help?
Hello. Just about Chris's metal detecting.
Oh, yeah.
Before Christmas... I think there was a few things in the news about people finding stuff of value.
Yeah.
So my fella decided it would be a good idea, and that's what he wanted for Christmas, as a quick money fixing, as Chris said, you know, like a good get-quick.
Yeah. Well, he's planning to go round to his neighbour's gardens and ask them if it's all right to use their garden for metal detecting purposes, which I don't think is right.
We did it at the beach. Beaches are good.
Yeah.
How much money have you made so far?
Nothing. We found a few nails, a few bits of barbed wire, some old glasses. Our biggest treasure so far has been an old car part. It was a carburettor, something like that. I don't know why it was on a beach, but it was.
I like that she does it as a couple. Do you know what I mean? They obviously go out together and...
Oh, yeah, we do it as like a little family. We take the kids.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but he tries to make it out like it's a big family event. Like, we take the dog and everything. But nobody else is allowed to metal detect apart from him.
Right.
The kids are only allowed to dig.
What's his name?
Mark.
Well, maybe Chris and Mark could get together and become metal detecting friends.
Yeah, he loves it now.
Well, he's trying to get in on my relationship with Enrique Iglesias, but that's not really going to happen.
No, three is a couple, like a crowd.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
I would suggest.
But
him
nothing.
And Mark, that'd be good.
Nothing of note so far, no?
No, but every weekend it's let's get metal detecting.
Also, where is there a beach near landlocked Redditch?
Well, his family live up on the Wirral, so we go up there.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's not. I think that's put Chris up a little bit, maybe, because you're not really finding anything. You've been doing it, what, a few months now?
Yeah.
Oh, a couple of months, actually.
A couple of months.
It just needs that one time, though, Scott.
We are hoping, come the summer, when everybody goes to the beach, we're going to go down there afterwards and get everybody's money that they've dropped in.
Yeah, you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams.
That's the plan.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
There are several reasons that this cold Thursday isn't as bad as you think. One, it's nearly Friday. And two, it is time for the next bit of 24 years at the tap end, the highlight of many people's day. Last time, we talked about Chris's crazes, fads and general gimmicks, including his Tamagotchis. Where are we at today?
Today, I thought if it's all right with you two, we're going to go to the 11th year. I won't say what it's about yet, but it's about something close to my heart.
Okay, Roger?
Ready.
Buck, are you Roger?
Roger.
I still don't get the voice, but I'm ready.
Roger.
My 11th year at the tap end. I've had an eventful life. There has been highs and lows, and I've seen many people come and go. But there has been two main unconditional consistencies in my life. The love of my family and the love of football. I've loved football for many years now. I admit, I haven't been a Watford fan all my life. I started off as a Man United fan, then a West Ham fan, until I finally settled down with the club of my dreams, the Hornets. I didn't inherit a football team from my family, but they seemed very happy for me when I finally settled down with Watford, aged around 12. My parents aren't really the most sporty, but have always encouraged me in my football. Age 7, my mum suggested that I joined my local team, which was based down the road in the Croft Park in Pinner. I was to be with this team for nearly all my youth. My team was called Pinstars. There were two teams in Pinner, and they trained on the two different sides of the park. It was similar to the musical West Side Story. You were either Pinstars, which was my team, or Pinny United. All the guys at my school would play for one of those two teams, but both teams had a lot of respect for each other.
You are really into your musicals these days, aren't you?
In what sense?
Well, there's that other one you were talking about.
Oh, Les Mis.
Yeah,
yeah,
you love
that one, yeah.
Was it really like West Side Story, though?
Never seen West Side Story, but right. I sort of roughly know the plot, I think. So I imagine the situation we had at Pinner was like West Side Story.
Do you fancy some West Side Story music while you do this, then?
Have you got any?
Yeah, hang on.
Don't think I've ever heard it. But
if you read on and I'll sort it out.
All right. Is this it? It's quite sort of rousing, isn't it?
Mm.
I used to love playing for Pinstars. We would train on a Saturday and then our matches would be on a Sunday. We were in a Sunday league, so we would play teams generally from northwest London. And I'll be perfectly honest here, we usually lost. Our team had character, but we lacked the quality that some other teams had. Our two centre-backs were twins that more than once got sent off for fighting each other. Before I was made captain, our captain Charlie would often burst into tears if we started losing. And our star striker had a fear of heading the ball.
They sound ideal.
It wasn't ideal, but I always liked being the underdog. Most of my life, I've played left-back, sometimes moving forward to left midfield. My hero has always been Stuart Pearce, and to this day, whenever I get a new shirt, I always get the number 3 printed on the back. My old football manager used to nickname me Psycho after Stuart Pearce.
That's all I know about him, is that he had a reputation for being angry.
Why were you called the same?
Because they just thought my style was very like Stuart Pearce.
Did you get angry on the pitch?
Yeah, my game's all about sort of hard tackles and not much skill. Which was quite similar to Stuart Pearce, really. It was...
What's a hard tackle?
Do you want to know, or was that a joke?
I have no idea.
It's where you just go in quite hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do, yeah.
I'd love to see you play football. I really would.
It has happened.
Have you actually played?
Yeah, at school.
Did you not get a note?
Mostly my mum did do notes.
Yeah. But you must have had so many periods.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was always... the swimming was always off.
Oh, Scott's got his period again.
It was. My mum was very good with the notes. Fair play to her.
I think you should play football. I'll play as well.
Would
and
you?
See who's better out of... Shut up! I was on the football team until I kicked the ball into a bush and then got stung by loads of bees.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. We could make a team. I'll play for you. You know, I'm an all right footballer.
I'm all right.
Yeah, Millsy can play. And then what we could do to test our team out, we'll just play against a load of 12-year-olds. Because I think that's the standard I'm probably dealing with here, right?
So the last time I played, I was 10.
I used to love Sunday games. Freezing cold Sunday mornings, playing on a pitch in Pinner, which was built on a hill. Every week we'd get changed in a Baltic cold changing room, do our warm-up routine, and go out every week thinking we could win. The warm-up routine was the same every week.
Mm. I was going to ask, what did that involve?
What would happen is our first manager started this, and then it just carried on every game.
Is the manager also a young... person?
No, he's not a young person.
He's an adult, isn't
he? Yeah, he was,
oh, right.
He was a dad.
I was wanting, like, you know, like in Bugsy Malone, like a child manager. I just love that. Come in just starting throwing boots around.
Like Bugsy Malone.
Spitting on kids.
Gotta do better.
You'd have to have that voice as well, like, yeah. A really crap American accent.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, but what we'd do is we'd start sort of jogging.
Can you still do it now? Do it show explaining it.
Okay.
So I want to see the crab one.
The crab one?
Yeah, all footballers do the crab one.
What's that?
So they do that weird kind of jumps to the side.
Show me.
Like, you must have seen this.
And what are you doing?
It's a strange kind of river dance.
I've never
seen
that.
The one that doesn't speak knows it.
Yeah.
Joking me.
It's really famous. There's like...
That's the hopscotch.
No, and then they go like...
My God, listeners, I wish you could see how stupid she looks. I'm not so sure
yeah,
about this
do,
football
they
match.
They do, the one that doesn't speak's doing it as well.
Our one was more normal. So what you do is you start jogging.
That's made me out of breath. This doesn't bode well for the team,
it doesn't.
It?
We're going down.
I promise I'll do more crabs later.
We weren't the strongest team, and our reputation wasn't helped when we were delivered a new kit with an exciting new sponsor. We were now sponsored by the Middlesex Machines, which for a 10-year-old wasn't ideal. We were told to ignore the laughs, but I heard one of the dads singing James Brown as we proudly ran on. As a 10-year-old, this annoyed me.
Oh, I've only just got it!
It was a building company, I believe, called the Middlesex Machines.
But I didn't hear it the first time.
Dun, 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 dun. Get up, that one.
That one.
Oh. Like a Middlesex machine.
We were a bunch of 10-year-olds. This is what the other kids
That's
were saying.
That's not appropriate.
Which, although I can laugh off now, really annoyed me at the
10.
Time, you know?
Yeah,
things
you
like that really get to you.
That wasn't cool in the playground.
So now do you still get a photo when you hear, get up?
Yeah, whenever I think of that, I think of freezing cold Sunday mornings running out of the changing room.
Was that your walk-on music? That's a bit cruel.
I think we lost that sponsor after a year. We decided that sponsors weren't really the one. The hard thing about loving football is the pain you feel when times are hard. They say you get hurt the hardest by those that you love the most, and this has often been the case, especially with England. In 1998, when England got knocked out to Argentina, I'm not afraid to admit I cried that night. I was so upset that I wrote a poem... which I only discovered the other day, in the only diary I ever kept when I was in year 6. I remember Des Lynam reading Kipling, If, as part of a montage, the night England got knocked out. I went upstairs and wrote this.
Oh, that's... is this the poem?
No, sorry, no, this isn't the poem. No, this is the...
So did I!
I thought that was the poem.
No,
God,
this is the
first
setup.
Line's got Des Lynam in it. This is going to be an event.
No, this is the setup.
Oh.
And how the hell is he going to rhyme Des Lynam?
I know, you started reading it in your poetry voice.
What does rhyme with Des Lynam?
Nothing.
Sorry for the confusion.
Okay.
Okay, can we have the poem, please?
It's called The Winning Goal. According to my diary, this isn't the poem again. According to my diary, it was written on the 17th of July, 98.
OK. Ready.
A winning goal is everyone's aim. It doesn't matter how you score it, whether it's from the halfway line or a tap-in in the box. It's a goal, and that's all that matters. Whether it's at the beginning or at the end of the game, just as long as you score. If life was like a football match, think what would be your winning goal. So keep on scoring until the end of your life, and when you do, remember as well as yourself you have helped your team. Some get rewarded, some don't. Some people try, but don't always succeed. It doesn't matter, though, how much you get rewarded. All that matters is that you have scored your winning goal. Do you not think that's deep?
It's really deep. Almost too deep for me to actually understand.
Yeah, I've forgotten most of it, to be honest. I'm going to have another look. I love the way you've printed... When you've printed it, you've done the poem in italics.
It's what you did at school.
Keep on scoring until the end of your life, and when you do, remember as well as yourself you have helped your team.
It's philosophical. Mm.
And this was written on that emotional evening.
Yeah, the night England... I, you know, cried, went upstairs, wrote a poem... Mm. And I've never shared it. I've never told anyone about this. I found it in the diary, so I've dug it out.
Yeah.
What's a tarpin in the box?
Spelling error.
A tarpin?
No, tap-in.
Oh. Do you write a poem every time Watford lose?
No, I don't know.
Because that's a fair amount of poems, isn't it? The Scott Mills Daily. Hey, Chris, we found it. From 1998, from the BBC World Cup coverage.
Oh, wow.
This is the thing that inspired that beautiful poem. So it's Des Lynam talking over Green Day.
No, it'll be Des Lynam reading Kipling if just after they played Green Day Time of Your Life. I was in tears.
Wow. Okay, I'd like to hear this because I don't think I did at the time. So sit back and enjoy.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thought your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose, and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Whoa, I didn't hear that at the time, but I'm slightly welling up.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Wow. I never thought that Des Lynam could move me in such a way. Wow.
The Scott Mills Daily.
What have you been saying to us this week? Dear Scott, it's your forum. It's your chance to say what you think, anything you want to know, anything you think that we should know about. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
You don't want the middle seat. You end up with the gearbox tunnel under your hoo-ha. Not nice, trust me. Tim on the train.
Thank you, Tim.
Straight in there.
Yeah, straight in. No mess in. This was after we were saying that the middle seat is always the best. Generally, like in a car, in a van situation.
Yeah.
Tim saying not because of the hoo-ha situation. So I stand corrected. I think that was more Becky than me. But she said that the people in the middle seat always seem to be having the best time.
It's true. It's more fun. It's because you've got nothing to hold on to, so you sort of sway more, don't you? And it's a more lively experience.
Well, maybe Tim is halfway to working out why they're having, or looking like they're having such a good time. Thanks for your email, Tim.
Dear Scotty the Hottie, although we know you hate being called Scotty, it's definitely necessary. Bex Hux, Sexy Bexy, Starksy, the PR4L, Chris Smith off of the news, the guy off of the sports, STD, lol, the one that doesn't speak, and everyone else we've forgotten. To while away the tedious A-level maths lesson, we have borrowed a few techniques from the show to make them more interesting. A personal favourite is shouting, "Go on, pigs!" as loud as possible at the quietest, not sure if that's a word, moments, without the teacher noticing.
I'm all for a good "Go on, pigs" at school.
I wish I was at school so I could do it in the school library. That'd be a right laugh.
"Go on, pigs!" Or in the assembly hall, because it's really, yes, really echoey. It's like a, "Go on, pigs!"
In addition to this, we have gone on to develop our own game called Five. The only rule of this is to answer every question, subtly, with the number five. It works best when everyone gets involved, because the teacher starts to doubt their own answer. Although it's obviously easier in a maths lesson, where numbers are flying around willy-nilly, we challenge you to incorporate a similar style game into the show one day. It would make our lives complete. Lots of love, eternally, forever and ever, Esme and Holly. P.S. We love you and your moon face.
Thanks very much. See? I might have a moon face, but they think it's lovable. So five. So what happens is you shout five. You say the answer's five to the teacher, and if everyone says it together,
yeah,
the teacher kind of doubts their own maths ability.
It's a really good idea.
No, definitely. Sir, it is five. If everyone in the room agrees, the teacher's going to freak. I like that a lot. Something we could maybe incorporate at some point during our show.
Dear Scott, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, the PR4L, and everyone else. Sometimes there are other acronyms, but I'm not sure what they stand for. I'm writing to you because I want your opinion. The other day, I bought a bra that means your breasts look two sizes bigger. But I'm unsure whether to wear it, as I'm scared it's false advertising. And someone may be attracted to me because of my ample chest, only to discover it's not as ample as it seems. What is your opinion? Should I wear it, or will people, on closer inspection, be disappointed and stop liking me? Let me know, please. Love you. Ellie, off of Exeter.
Well, I did say on Dear Scott you can write in about anything, and people do, as you can hear. Thank you, Ellie in Exeter. Seriously, why are you writing to me about bra issues?
I don't think I can help much with this either.
Well, is that because you don't want to comment?
No, it's just a bra that makes you two sizes bigger.
I can see why people would want that.
I didn't know that science existed.
Yeah. You can do things to make them look bigger than they actually are. But Ellie's saying that if there is a gentleman, or maybe even a lady, that's in a position where she shows them for real, then obviously...
Brilliantly put.
She has been doing false advertising. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem because they should like you for you and not just for your chest size. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. I agree. No, I'll go with you on
really,
this.
Really, really
no,
good.
I just thought I was just going to dig a hole. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's best that you stopped.
Yeah.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, the PR4L and the rest of the motley crew. I was listening to you the other day when Scott was wanging on about the delights of sitting down in the shower.
Yes.
To be honest, at first I thought he needed help. Then I tried it and have been completely turned round to the idea.
Hallelujah.
This has given me some inspiration for a business venture that you and the team could get involved in. Scott Mills Shower Seat Thrills. Okay, that sounds wrong. You might want to work on the name. But basically, Scott could design a seat that was specially suited for those who have seen the light and wish to sit comfortably in the shower. I think you'll find there's a distinct gap in the market for this. The seat could have places to put your shampoo, shower gel and all that stuff to save you from having to repeatedly stand up to retrieve it. Becky could model this, not naked, obvs, and Chris, with his famously downbeat voice, would be perfect for the TV ad voiceover. Sorted. Lots of love, Kaz in Essex, XX. P.S. Yes, I would expect a healthy percentage of earnings from this idea, since it was my idea. Ta.
Actually, Kaz, I think you'll find that I talked about sitting down in the shower earlier this week, so it's my idea. And also, Chris was going to take this to Dragon's Den all the way a few months ago, weren't you?
Yeah, well, that was the plan.
So I don't think it's probably not any of our ideas. It's probably been thought of already.
It would make for a great Dragon's Den episode, though,
wouldn't
it?
Would be good. Is it going to be like one of those camp chairs where you've got like room to be, you've got like a little holder for your beer?
Yeah.
That would be quite good. Also, somebody tweeted me after talking about sitting down in the shower and how magnificent it is earlier this week. Somebody tweeted me an article, I think from The Guardian, earlier in the week, or maybe last week. And it's in Norway where they have now invented the lay-down shower, which is actually pointless. Like, seriously, the most pointless invention ever. Could just have a bath.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you saying, though, about, you know, having drinks holders in the shower? Mm. Aren't you meant to have had a beer in the shower by now? Isn't that what you promised all time low?
You did, but that was only a couple of days ago, and I'm not the kind of person that has beer available in my house. So what I need to do is make a special effort to go out, buy some beer, and then have a beer in the shower, which I haven't done yet.
Okay.
There's only white wine and so some martini.
By this time next week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Apparently it makes your hair well shiny as well. You seem like the kind of lad that probably has had a beer shower.
A beer in the shower?
You have, right?
I've been showered in beer, but I've never had a beer shower.
Well, what are you doing? You're a man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get on that.
Okay. Right. Real nice shiny hair. And you can obviously drink in the shower. Quite good.
Perfect.
Yeah. Anything else you want to know? Anything else you want to say? By the way, that's not my idea. That's All Time Low's idea when they came in earlier this week. They say it's great. They swear by it. Send me an email to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. You could be on next week's Dear Scott.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi.
Hello.
Is that an uneaten sandwich to the left of Becky? That would be to your left, Becky.
No, that's a massive bar of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Chris found a phone and then the owner of the phone, to say thank you, bought him loads and loads and loads of Swiss chocolate.
There's some dark chocolate here from a certain high street brand that has been sitting here for a while, and I'm kind of on a diet. Gary, do you mind doing me a favour running that through to the crew at Scott Mills Show? And then
why are you on a diet?
I don't think we should eat this. I think this is part of a bigger plot.
It's not even opened. I'm not,
there's something fishy about
I'm
this.
I'm not that A, clever, B, funny, or C, prepared.
You don't need to diet.
Oh, ears pounder.
Here he comes. I'm telling you, a man of my word. And D, it's not even mine to give away, so if I were you, I'd just take it.
If I were you, just have it.
It's not that chocolate off of Westwood, is it?
But you have to do me a favour, though. Someone on the team's got to eat it, like a piece of it now.
I don't trust Scott. He wants you to eat it.
It's been tampered with.
It hasn't been tampered with. It's just a weird thing for me. I like watching people eat chocolate. Look, just run with me on this one. Can you just do me a favour and just have a bite of it?
Go on. You like... Is that your thing, is it? To watch people eat chocolate?
Into the microphone. No, I'm just joking. Please don't. I actually, all jokes aside, I have the sibilance. I find it very upsetting and annoying, and it gives me nightmares. Don't eat. Don't eat it. Don't
eat it. You wanted to...
Don't eat. He's just eaten it.
Well, there you go. We got through that, didn't we? No hassle whatsoever. We survived it.
Yeah.
Oh God, no.
It's nothing worse than that.
Oh, God, I wish I'd never made that joke. The thing about Becky as well is once you dangle a carrot like that in front of her, she never lets go.
Dangle a carrot.
Ooh,
What?
Settle down.
You're a matron.
That's a new Indo bingo on a silver platter, man. That's yours. You have that. That one's free.
BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download.